Welcome to Fresh Research, a podcast from the nonprofit Times. We explore some of the most interesting and sometimes provocative findings focused on the world of nonprofits. Thanks for tuning in. Here at the nonprofit Times, we see tons of great fresh research. So in each episode, we take a recent study or survey and have a conversation with the authors about what they found and why they think it's important for charities. We'll also give away some books and give you access to other valuable information from the nonprofit Times.
Nonprofits are at a point with artificial intelligence similar to where they were with social media more than a decade ago. But AI will move much faster in the coming years, according to our guests on this episode. Authors Beth Cantor and Allison Fine joined today's program to talk about their paper, Unlocking Generosity with Artificial Intelligence, The Future of Giving. We discuss how AI is being used by nonprofits, the current state of AI, and what the technology holds for the sector. So what did you learn primarily from your paper? Where is the nonprofit sector at when it comes to artificial intelligence? Allison, if you want to start.
Sure. So we like to use the analogy, Mark, of technology adoption in the shape of a hockey stick. And there's the blade along the bottom of the user graph, and then it hits an inflection point, which is the heel of the stick, and then it shoots straight up. And we feel like we're right at the heel of the hockey stick right now, that the use of AI is exploding because the technology has become commercialized and so much less expensive, so that regular people and smaller organizations can now have access to it in a way that we couldn't before.
It sounds like a typical kind of technology adoption curve, I would imagine, where it's commercial entities or the for-profit side is a few years ahead, and then it gets a little less expensive and nonprofits kind of jump in. Is that fair to say?
It is. We think, you know, Beth and I have been doing this work for a long time, and we think we're at this point with AI where we were with social media in around 2008, 2009, somewhere in there.
Mm-hmm. Really? And so where does a nonprofit typically start when it comes to AI? Is it a matter of chatbots or even on the fundraising side?
We always have said, don't start with the tools. Mm-hmm. And here we wrote a report about a tool. But really, it's about the strategic use of the tool. And both Alice and I, ironically, we think about artificial intelligence as the robots, but we think that it's actually a fantastic opportunity for nonprofits to rehumanize a fundraising and especially focus on the donor relationship. And this is why. AI pays a big dividend. We've just learned this term, the AI dividend. And the dividend is the gift of time, because AI can do things, rote types of tasks like pattern matching, analyzing big data sets, much faster than humans, and they're better at it. And this frees up a lot of human time to then refocus back on things that humans are better at, and that's making relationships with donors and engaging with donors.
Is it just for big organizations like hospitals, universities, and the big national charities that can afford this? Or is there somewhere where it can fit for smaller kind of everyday charities? Like if I'm, say, a typical kind of food bank or an organization that's got, less than $1 million in revenue, is that something that fits in my system?
Well, that's what's so exciting, Mark, about this moment in time. Anybody, any organization can create a chatbot, be used on their website to be able to engage conversationally with anyone interested in your cause or a potential donor and answer questions. Any organization can get a software, a commercial software package like Gravity that we highlight in the report. It's not very expensive to be able to flag donors that may lapse, to be able to craft email communications based on those donors' interests that will be reviewed by staff. So that's why this is the inflection point for adoption, is because there are so many tools that are available to smaller organizations right now.
You mentioned in the report, you described four phases of AI adoption levels. There's crawl, walk, run, and fly. Any idea where nonprofits fall into that? Is there a breakout of, say, who's at the forefront and where are they now, and where your typical nonprofit might be in that phase?
You know, what I think the more advanced users of artificial intelligence are those that are not necessarily in giving, but in a field that's called AI for Good, which is basically partnerships between large technology companies and organizations working on big, hairy problems, for lack of a better word. And those tend to fall in a couple of areas: international development, healthcare, and scientific areas. So, you know, if we look away from giving, which we focused on in this report, and we look at integrated into programs, that's where some of the most advanced use cases are. For example, one that we highlighted in the report is USA for Refugees. And they had a partnership with a satellite imaging company called Maxar and the Stanford University's Artificial Intelligence Lab, where they were using satellite images to map refugee camps because they're overcrowded. And that can be a labor-intensive task, and it requires staff going on site. And of course, now during COVID, they can't. But the use of the artificial intelligence with the satellite imaging removes the need to go on site and can help them remap the camp so it's more effective and efficient in delivering services. And of course, they have many, many, many camps around the world. So the technology is allowing them to do this at scale without the added cost of travel and human time.
What are other nonprofits that are at the forefront now, and how long have they been in AI? Like, that's an interesting example of refugees. That's not even fundraising, it's more program. What are some of the others that are really, are they flying at this point or walking? What phase are they in and what are they doing?
Well, I'll start, Beth, with United Ways, and then you can add to that. So the United Ways have really been at the forefront of using a product created by Salesforce called Philanthropy Cloud to help donors find causes that interest them. This, in particular, since it's United Way, it's used in workplace giving. And they've been doing this for a couple of years now, and Salesforce is preparing to make this available to other nonprofits as well. So I wouldn't say it's not mature, but it's not brand new for United Way, which has the capacity to have data scientists on staff and to really engage with a corporation the size of Salesforce in doing this. So they are leading the charge on the donor side of this.
I think also to build on what Allison is saying, the other area where we've seen a lot of nonprofits jump on the bandwagon is with chatbots. And that's primarily because of probably Facebook Messenger has democratized the software, so to speak, so that anybody could set up a chatbot. But we also have seen more advanced uses of chatbots where they can do more sophisticated things like learn on their own on how to answer questions. And one example comes from the Children's Miracle Network Hospitals, which is a network of children's hospitals in Canada, the US, and they do an online virtual fundraiser, which is a gaming, you know, online game. And so they have chatbots on their website that act as 24/7 concierge that answer frequent questions that donors may ask. And the chatbots are there 24/7. My favorite example is that they were getting a lot of questions from their Canadian donors about, like, okay, so what's the Canadian dollar amount? How does that convert to these US dollar amounts that I'm seeing on the pledge form? So the chatbot would then take them to a landing page that would show the conversion rates in Canadian dollars. And somebody could be asking this in the middle of the night previously, right? And the staff was sleeping. So the donor may not make the gift. But now that you have the chatbots there, you know, providing concierge service to donors and their questions, it's increasing the conversion rate.
So is there a concern, or is it a valid concern of artificial intelligence taking jobs in the nonprofit sector as well? You hear a lot about AI taking jobs away or you know, futurizing different sectors. Is that a concern in the nonprofit sector as well?
We often hear that concern, Mark, but we think in this area of AI for giving, that having AI and robots doing rote tasks that staff is spending enormous amounts of time doing now in, say, data analysis, frees up staff to then pivot to doing things we think they ought to be doing if they had the time, such as spending time with everyday donors, people giving less than $500 to have them share their stories and get to know them better. So we feel very strongly, and we've always said this throughout our careers, technology is not here to replace people, it's to augment the capacity of people to build deep relationships. And we think that is one of the greatest upsides of this moment in time in AI for Giving.
We'll be right back with more from Beth Cantor and Allison Fine about the drawbacks and dangers of AI right after this.
If you like what you're hearing, share it with friends and colleagues on social media. Use the hashtag #FreshResearch or retweet the Nonprofit Times link, and you'll be eligible to win a book from the NPT Library. Another way for folks to find the show, rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love where you work? Do you think it's one of the best nonprofits to work for? Well, registration is now open through October for the annual Best Nonprofits to Work For, brought to you by the Nonprofit Times and Best Companies Group. The annual survey and awards program is dedicated to identifying and recognizing the best employers and providing organizations with valuable employee feedback. The study concludes in a top 50 list featured in the April edition of the Nonprofit Times. Find out more at bestnonprofitstoworkfor.com. Now more with Beth Cantor and Allison Fine about their report, Unlocking Generosity with Artificial Intelligence. Is there a downside to AI in some way?
Not so much the downside, so to speak, but challenges that can be overcome but need to be thought about as part of adopting this new technology. One is making sure that there's a strategic use. And this happens with any of the technologies. You don't want to get sucked into shiny object syndrome, like, wow, isn't this cool? Let's do it, without really having a strategic purpose for using the tools. And also, for it to work, organizations need to have usable, clean, complete, and relevant data, and a lot of it. And we know that that's a big gap and issue in the nonprofit sector. And having the expertise, I think, as you alluded to before, not every organization is going to have the resources or prioritize hiring a data scientist. But I think organizations, nonprofits, are going to have to be able to be thoughtful consumers of these products that are out there, and understand how they work, and be able to ask questions like, how does the algorithm work? What is it based on? Is there any inherent bias? Which is the last point, that there are big, big ethical concerns around how, you know, what data sets are being used and how the algorithm is constructed. And I know Allison loves to talk about this part, so I'm going to toss it over to her.
This is an area of called algorithmic bias, Mark, and we're already seeing it at work, where you have human service providers using, say, chatbots to screen people for services in housing, say. And if that code has built into it the previous history of, say, racial bias in housing, then that's how those services are going to be screened from there on in when they're automated. And that's of enormous concern to people who want to make sure that people have equal access to services. So we're big proponents of encouraging organizations to have an outside ethics committee to ask these kinds of questions about the people who are writing the code. You know, is there bias in here? There probably is, because humans are doing the coding, and what it is, and to make sure it's tested.
I know, I like the quote, I'm trying to remember who said it, but basically algorithms are opinions disguised as code. And another example that we heard recently that applies specifically to fundraising is that, you know, we mentioned the need for these large data sets, and some nonprofits will acquire third-party data sets and append information to their existing donor data. And those data sets may come with additional fields or labels, such as race or gender. And so staff has to really understand, like, how did you label that data? What is the source of it? And you can imagine, like, for example, gender. Maybe the label is based on a data set of, quote, female names, right? But some names could be male or female. So how do they make that decision? And so the fundraiser or the marketer who's pulling up the donor database and seeing all this data and sees, this person is female, maybe addressing that person as a female, and maybe they're not. So that could lead to problems. So it's really important that the staff who are making strategy decisions based on the data that they're getting need to understand the source and how it's constructed.
So just like anything, it's you're only as good as your data, whether it's 2020 or 1990.
That's the thing. What makes AI different, though, Mark, than other technologies we've seen is that largely it's happening in the background. And because of that, it's invisible for a lot of people, unlike social media, say. So we are concerned that the code will be opaque for people, particularly when we're working with commercial platforms. And given how much of human interaction is going to begin to happen between humans and robots, you know, the guts of the code is going to become more and more important.
Mm-hmm. If I'm a nonprofit, where do I start with AI? What's my next move to either learn more information or figure out where we can use it for our nonprofit?
Allison and I like to suggest or recommend that nonprofits start with an experimentation mindset and to come up with a small pilot or test of some of the technology and see what you can learn from it and then use that knowledge to build on the next project. So having that mindset of experimenting and learning to begin with and move slowly to really, what's the term you use, Allison? I there's a phrase that you use to describe this that I'm not thinking of right at this moment. To inch into it, was that the term you use? Inch into it or centimeter into it?
Very technical.
Tiptoe.
All the way into it. That and Mark, if you're looking to start to experiment with AI for giving, take a look at our report, AI4giving.org.
So what are your predictions, say, over the next 10 years? You made a connection to AI being where social media was, say, 10 years ago. What do you foresee for the next 10 years with AI? Are we finally going to get over 2% of GDP in giving, or is it not going to be that obvious?
Well, I would say, so we should be looking at 2 to 3 years, not 10 years, because the technology is developing so quickly. One of our great hopes, Mark, is that we will see an increase in donor retention rates. We call this a cancer on the nonprofit sector, that over 75% of donors in year one don't give in year two. And that creates this frantic transactional hunt for new donors to fill this leaky bucket of donors. So we would like to see, when people get this dividend of time from AI, we'd like to see them use it for donor retention. And so it's not a prediction, but it's certainly a hope that if we could go from, say, 24% to 30% donor retention, that's a huge increase in funds for nonprofits, but also in long-term donors, which we're going to need in this really difficult economy.
Also in the report, we took our crystal balls out and tried to, anticipate in the next couple of years. At the time of the report, COVID had not hit, but we think this is going to be really rebounding giving and coming back from COVID. I think it will help accelerate perhaps the adoption of AI, especially since organizations now, because of COVID, have kind of moved faster in their digital transformation processes, at least with online collaboration and communication. Another thing we were looking at is that we are optimistic that it can help increase giving, and particularly around everyday donors, that smaller segment, and applying the technology to help increase real-time funding for emergency needs and making sure that people who want to give are in a faster way matched with where they can give and what they can support. And also one of the examples in the report that, and I think we already mentioned it on this call, it was from United Ways and their workplace giving and the whole idea around donor matching. So we could see even more use of like a lifestyle database where people are more easily matched with what their passion is for giving. And there's no noise in the way. And so that then increases conversion rates and people feel fulfilled because they're seeing what they want to give to and they give. And then there, as Allison mentioned, the relationships are being built and this becomes a cycle of increasing.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned that in the, you get into it, into the report, but can you describe a little bit about how some of these programs or AI, how specifically would it improve donor attention?
I'm thinking of one. It was actually not in the report. We heard about it after publishing it, but the technology is called Accessible Intelligence, and it's being applied for online fundraising appeals. And it was a pilot that was done for the Rainforest Action.
Rainforest Network,
RAN is its acronym. And they were able to shift 600% of donors to monthly donors, based on the application of this particular software. And what it did was, with its algorithm and able to analyze the data, it was able to come back and customize the appeals. And we're not just, you know, the old way is to target groups of people, but this is, you know, customization, personalization at scale, and also to provide some predictive recommendations about the frequency of that communication. So those two things put together, the personalization, the customization, and also not over communicating and not under communicating, but communicating in just the right cadence, helped increase the conversion rate from, you know, one-time donor to monthly or regular donor or donor subscriptions.
What other ways do you think that charities get involved on their own? Is it a matter of, do you foresee it being a matter of partnering with these other folks like Salesforce, you mentioned Gravity, or is it more likely that charities will do it on their own in terms of AI?
Well, that's one of the big challenges, Mark, is that given the amount of data and the amount of technical expertise needed to use AI well, we think most small and medium-sized nonprofits are going to have to outsource the technology to commercial platforms. And then we have, when that happens, we have the same problem we've had with social media, which is who owns the data and how do they use it? We know that nonprofits are going to need, in general, to have more expertise about data analysis and data management. They need the expertise of a data scientist. But unless you are United Nations, you're unlikely to create the technology in-house.
What else do you think charities should know about this topic? Is there anything else from the report that you'd want to emphasize for listeners?
I think, especially if a charity is kind of ambiently aware or understands what artificial intelligence is, we worked really hard to kind of explain it in non-geek terms. So that's also a good first learning step. If you're not already familiar with the nuances in the artificial intelligence field, there's many different subtypes. So we have a whole section of the report where we kind of break it down for folks. And then the examples that we touched on today are just a small number that we looked at. So there's an extensive number of examples of different types of applications of artificial intelligence to giving. So we suggest that people download the report. It's at AI4giving.org. And contact us. Let us know what you think. Let us know what your questions are.
Thanks to authors Beth Cantor and Allison Fine for joining this episode. Their paper is called Unlocking Generosity with Artificial Intelligence, The Future of Giving. You can find more information at AIforgiving.org. That's AI4giving.org.
That's our episode for today. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to share the Fresh Research link on Twitter or Facebook to be eligible to win something from the NPT Library. You can also share on social media with the hashtag Fresh Research. And if you like what you hear, please rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. This has been Fresh Research, a podcast from the Nonprofit Times, spotlighting research and trends in the philanthropic sector. Till next time, keep up with us at thenonprofittimes.com for all your nonprofit news.